KIXI time is 10 p.m.
CBS News. Rescue workers near Saigon have resumed their search for more bodies of Vietnamese orphans killed when a giant U.S. Air Force plane crashed while trying to airlift them to the United States. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. At least 178 persons died when the C-5A plane crashed shortly after takeoff from Saigon, and it's feared the death toll could go to 200. There were 319 persons aboard the plane. Military sources in Washington say there is a possibility of sabotage, but a U.S. Embassy spokesman in Saigon says everything points to mechanical failure. The American effort to take orphan refugees out of war-torn South Vietnam will continue. A Pentagon spokesman said late Friday night that four Air Force C-141 Starlifters will arrive in Saigon sometime Saturday morning to pick up a total of 406 orphans and escorts. In a speech in San Francisco Friday night, President Ford vowed to continue the mercy flights of refugees from Vietnam.
I can assure you that we are taking all possible humanitarian measures to relieve the innocent civilian refugees in South Vietnam. We are also providing for the safety of all Americans in the battle zone.
The president spoke to a civic group in San Francisco. More news in a moment.
See if you can identify these sounds. Squeaky door? Lion growling. A motor scooter. Cow mooing? Spanish dancer. If you agreed with these guesses, you've been fooled, because each sound was made by a whale. That's right, a great big blubbery old whale just buzzing and clicking and grunting away deep down in the ocean. The National Audubon Society has joined a world effort to save these amazing animals from extinction. We need your help. To find out what you can do, write National Audubon Society, 950 3rd Avenue, New York, New York, 10022.
With the communists threatening the entire country, South Vietnamese President Nguyen Van Thieu has announced formation of a new government, which he terms a war government. Thieu also said if the United States does not continue military aid to South Vietnam, Americans will earn the label of traitors. Senator Adlai Stevenson, Democrat of Illinois, says he is against any more aid to the South Vietnamese government.
Continued support for the Thieu regime is the one certain means of assuring a communist military takeover in South Vietnam. That regime could not win the war with 500,000 American troops. It has not lacked arms and the equipment. The level of supply from the United States in the last year has exceeded by a ratio of almost 2-1 the level of support from the Russians and from the communist Chinese for its adversaries.
Senator Adlai Stevenson. Walt Rostow, an advisor to the late President Lyndon Johnson, says the United States should consider an invasion of North Vietnam and occupying part of that country with U.S. Marines. Rostow says that could force the communists to honor the 1973 Paris Peace Agreement. The military situation continues to deteriorate in Cambodia. Government units have now abandoned positions east and north of the capital, Phnom Penh. Heavy fighting is reported along the southern perimeter, Phnom Penh, and army troops from outlying areas are being called in to help defend the capital. Two more plane loads of U.S. Embassy personnel were flown out of Phnom Penh Friday. AFL-CIO President George Meany says the unemployment situation is even worse than the figures indicate. Meany says there are about 1 million people who've dropped out of the workforce because of discouragement after going without jobs for a long time. Friday, the government reported another 500,000 people were out of work in March, with the jobless rate totaling 8.7%. It's the highest unemployment in 34 years. President Ford says he'll ask Congress to extend unemployment benefits for another 13 weeks. This would give most workers eligible for jobless benefits a maximum of 65 weeks of payments. Now this.
The Movies, 1975. Hi, I'm Lee Jordan, inviting you to the wonderful world of the Movies, 1975. Ellen Burstyn's been nominated for an Academy Award for her role in Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore. She told me why she chose this role over many other offers.
I was looking for a script for a long time from while I was shooting The Exorcist, and I didn't like any of the ones that they were submitting to me. And they were not scripts from the woman's point of view. They were any part in them for a woman was a traditional role of the wife of the man or the mistress of the man or the daughter of the man or something. And this was the only one I found that was really, I felt, from a woman's point of view.
Ellen Burstyn, an Academy Award hopeful, one of many Hollywood stars you'll hear on The Movies 1975. 30 special broadcast this weekend over the CBS Radio Network.
An Athens newspaper reports the will of the late Aristotle Onassis has been opened and read to his closest heirs. The report says the will was read in strict secrecy and only members of the family know its contents. Onassis, who died March 15th in Paris, left an estate estimated at about $1 billion. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for a chance of showers and some periods of partial clearing through Sunday. The highs in the upper 40s and lows in the mid-30s. In downtown Seattle, currently 40 degrees. It's 39 at the airport. Barometer rising and reads 29.87. And taking a brief look at sports, in the NBA this evening, the Seattle Supersonics defeated Los Angeles 111-102. Portland over Kansas City, 116-110. Chicago down New Orleans, 111-87. It was Buffalo over Philadelphia, 108-97. Boston beat Washington, 95-94. And Milwaukee over New York, 109-101. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next on KIXI. The time now is 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Once again, it's my pleasure to tantalize you with a mystery. And not a whodunit, but a, so to speak, whydunit. Frankly, I much prefer the why to the whodunits, because they're just so darn difficult to solve, if you manage to solve them at all. For example, why... But no, let Rose Corbin, our heroine, ask the question.
But why, Hank? Why would anyone commit murder because of this coat?
I don't get it either, Rose.
It's just a plain, ordinary imitation leopard skin coat. We know that.
Well, do we?
What do you mean?
I mean, this coat has been the cause of more than one murder and attempted murders. It may look plain and ordinary, but Rose, it can't be. Someone wants this coat. Wants it badly enough to kill for it. And Rose, do me a favor, will you?
What favor, Hank?
Stop wearing it.
Our mystery drama, Roses Are for Funerals, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by George Lowther and stars Carol Shelley. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Sit around your radio, listening to our mystery show, with someone you'd like to know, and Vigna Rosé. Pull the shades and lock the door, turn the sound up even more, get a glass and quickly pour some Vigna Rosé. We hope you'll find our story strange and frightful. We know you'll find our Vigna wine delightful. Now it's time that we commence, oh, with a tale of great suspense, brought to you with compliments.
Bayou Blind Park in Connecticut.
Hi, this is Jose Feliciano, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Louis Braille Foundation for Blind Musicians, a national nonprofit organization working to promote the interests of the blind in the field of music. The foundation exists to help talented blind musicians achieve professional status as performers and teachers, providing them with auditions, evaluations, and counseling, paid engagements to qualified musicians, and the transcription of music into Braille. The services of the Louis Braille Foundation are available to any blind person. The foundation depends entirely on your contributions. So please help. Send your tax-deductible gifts to the Louis Braille Foundation, 112 East 19th Street, New York, 10003. Help a blind musician on his way. Thank you. I come home in the evening.
Now, I'm not going to make the mistake the famous mystery writer E. Phillips Oppenheim once made and bet that you can't solve this mystery. You know what happened to him. You don't? Well, he bet his readers a large sum of money that they couldn't solve the mystery. And many of them did. So, no bets. Tell you what I will do, though. I'll play fair, as always, and make sure you have all the clues I have. Every single one. I'll even tell you when you've got all the pieces you need to put the puzzle together. And nothing can be fairer than that, right? Okay, then. Let's start at Kennedy International Airport, in a passenger lounge where a very attractive young lady named Rose Corbin sits patiently waiting for her cousin, Hank North.
Pardon, mademoiselle.
Yes?
Please, may I introduce myself? My name is Simone Laveau.
Yes?
Please, I must talk quickly, very fast, because my flight has already been announced for Paris.
What is it you want?
You will think it is such a foolishness, mademoiselle, but I wish to buy your coat.
You wish to buy my coat? This coat I'm wearing?
Yes, please. It's a strange thing to ask, I know.
It's a very strange thing to ask, especially when you're wearing the same kind of coat.
Oh, no, it's not the same.
Well, yours is real leopard skin, of course, while mine is only imitation. And a different style, too, but...
Please, let me explain, and then I know you will agree to my very strange request.
You can explain, but I'm not selling you this coat.
Please, mademoiselle, the problem is my sister. She's my twin sister in Paris. Vous savez, elle est très pauvre. She's very poor. And she's married to a man who does not make much money.
I'm sorry about that.
Please listen. When we were children, my sister and I always wore identical clothes. Dresses, coats, hats, everything was the same. And so today, when I buy something, well, like this coat I am wearing, which I bought here in the city, I always buy for her a duplicate.
Well, it's very thoughtful,
yes.
Very kind.
Yes, but you see, I'm very selfish. When I see this coat, I want it. Oh, I want it so much. And so I said to the salesperson, I will take this and another one just like it. Of course, for my sister, you understand. But mademoiselle, there is not another one like it. So please, quickly now, eh? I have only a few minutes before my flight. And combien ça coûte, hein? How much did you pay for it? How much do you wish for it?
I'm sorry, but I just don't want to sell my coat.
$100, huh? After all, it's only imitation.
Look here, even if you offered me $200,
mademoiselle,
no.
Please try to understand. I must have it. $1,000, $1,000.
For an imitation leopard skin.
Please, mademoiselle, my sister.
Now, if you're so concerned over your sister having a coat like yours, buy her one when you
but
get to Paris.
It's too late, mademoiselle. She's meeting me at the airport, and she will say, where is my coat? And I shall not...
I'm sorry. I'm really very sorry, but...
Please, here, $1,000, and I take the coat.
What are you doing? Take your hands off, please, will you? Don't you look, you're tall.
Oh,
you rip your lapel.
Hey, cool it.
Go away.
Yes, I'll be happy to if one of you isn't Rose Corbin.
Oh, that's me. Are you Hank? Hank?
Yeah, that's me. I was pretty sure you were Rose. You're wearing that rose in your coat lapel. What is all of this?
Well, this woman insists that I sell her my coat.
But they have offered her $1,000.
Yes, but if my cousin doesn't want to sell, you don't want to, do you, Rose?
No.
But I do not have time to argue. I shall miss my flight. Please, I beg of you, sell it to me.
Look, I'd better find a cop.
No, don't do that, please.
Well, then you must be on your way.
Please, the coat, I must have it.
Okay, there's a cop over there. I'll just go.
No, please, I'm going. I'm going, Schmover.
Oh, thank you, Hank. I'm so glad you came along when you did.
She gave you a hard time, huh?
Well, she tried to tear the coat off me, even ripped my lapel.
She put a kind of crimp in your rose, too. Broke the stem.
I might as well throw that away. Now it's served its purpose.
Well, there's no need for that. Look, I think I can repin it.
Oh, thank you.
Let's see. Say it's still pretty fresh. In fact, it's very fresh. After an 8-hour trip from London.
Oh, I didn't get it in London. I got it here, at the airport florist, when I landed. When I told you I'd be wearing a rose so that you'd recognize me, well, I decided if the girl looked wilted, at least the rose didn't have to.
Well, there you are. Good as new.
Oh, thank you.
Except for your torn lapel. Mother will take care of that. Okay, I've got your bag, so let's go. Fun city awaits you, Cousin Rose.
Hank? She seems to be awaiting me, too.
What?
Oh, the French girl, see? She still hasn't gone through the flight gate. She's standing there looking at us as if she was still hoping to buy this coat.
Ah, forget her. The world is full of nuts. Let's go.
Well, yes, we have bridges in London, but nothing like this, Hank. The Triborough, you said?
Yeah. Look over there. How's that for your first sight of New York City?
Oh, it's sensational.
It's too bad you didn't arrive at night. That skyline all lit up. It's out of sight.
I'm sure it is. Oh, Hank, I'm so grateful to you and Aunt Ruth letting me stay with you on my first trip to the States.
Letting you stay? They're happy to have you. In fact, now that I see you, I'm delighted to have you. And very glad we're cousins twice removed.
Why?
Well, it makes us kissing cousins.
I hope you're right. About being second cousins, I mean. Personally, I can't figure it out. Maybe you, with that lawyer's brain of yours.
Hey, what in...
What is it? What's wrong?
That car next to us. Hey, watch it! Hey, man, you're too darn close.
Oh, good heavens, they certainly are.
Crazy fool. What are you doing? Get over.
We'll have an accident.
But we sure will if they do. Well, they got the idea. They're pulling ahead, thank heaven.
Pulling ahead, but right in front of us.
Now, what in...
Hank, look out. They've stopped. Ow!
Rose. Rose, are you okay?
I don't know. I...
Hey, here, what do you think you're doing? You.
Me?
Yes, you. Give me that. Oh, never mind. I'll take it. Hey, take your hands off her. What kind of a nut are you? Let her alone.
The coat. He's trying to take my coat.
Get your hands off her, I said. All right.
Hank, you've knocked him out.
No. He's getting up. Come back here, you dirty creep.
Hank, don't go after him. He could be armed. You could be hurt.
He's getting back in his car. Get the license number.
All right.
Quick, Rose, the glove compartment. Pad and a pencil.
Right.
Jot the number down. Quick. He's burning rubber to get away fast. Tried to kill us, Mother. They did. I know they did.
And he, the man who jumped from their car and ran back to us, he wanted my coat as badly as that woman at the airport.
It's unbelievable. It's altogether unbelievable.
It's incredible. That's what it is.
Now, just a minute. You say she was willing to pay $1,000 for it.
For imitation leopard skin.
But she wanted it and had to have it for her twin sister?
Yeah, well, I don't buy that, Mother. This second attempt to get a hold of the coat... I mean, by a guy who was ready to kill us in an accident if it turned out that way. No. There's something about that coat. Something somebody wants.
Yes, but what could anyone want with an imitation leopard skin coat?
Where'd you buy it, Rose? Harrods in London.
I wish I knew how to straighten out the mystery of Rose's coat.
Oh, dear. You don't straighten out a mystery. You solve it. And I ought to know. I've read hundreds of them every year. Solve most of them, too.
We'll try solving this one, then, Aunt Ruth.
Well, as a matter of fact, I've been thinking, and I may have the answer.
You have?
Just may have. Would you bring me the coat, dear?
Of course. I won't be a minute.
What do you think of her, Mother?
Oh, she's beautiful, and she's just so charming, so poised. She may not have much money, son, but she does know how to wear clothes.
And with a figure like that, the clothes wear her.
Well, I don't mind saying she's exactly the sort of girl I hoped you'd marry one day.
Yeah, well, in that case, I'm glad she came over. I'm glad you invited her.
Oh, that's why I invited her.
Here it is, Aunt Ruth.
Thank you, my dear. Oh, this rose you wore is wilted, poor thing.
Small wonder. It's really taken a battering. I suppose it just decided to give up.
Mother, what are you doing?
Now you know my methods, Watson. Apply them.
I'm examining the lining.
The lining?
Oh, no, I could be wrong, but it wouldn't surprise me if something were hidden in this lining.
Well, what, for goodness sake?
Well, let me see. Certainly not jewels, or I'd be able to feel them.
You're going over that lining like an expert, Mother.
Well, that's what comes of being a mystery story addict. Oh, wait. Not heroin, either.
Heroin?
Oh, it's been done. Well, not anymore, though. The customs people were onto that, oh, ages ago.
I'll go.
Now, if heroin were concealed in the lining, mm-hmm. I'd be able to feel the, you know, the crinkly little glassine envelopes.
Oh.
What? There's nothing hidden in the lining. Nothing I can see, anyway. Oh, was it paper delivery, dear?
Yeah.
Now, why are you looking at the front page? It's as if you'd just been shocked out of a year's growth.
Because it could be I just have been.
Hank?
Listen to this. Headline reads, Woman Murdered on Paris-Bound Plane.
What?
A woman identified as Simone Laveau of Paris, France.
That's the woman who wanted to buy my coat.
I know. Just listen now. Was found dead in her seat aboard flight 219 for Paris late this afternoon. An hour after takeoff, a hostess, Andrea Klein, noticed that Miss Laveau was slumped in her seat and thought she was asleep. She secured a cushion to place behind the young woman's head, and on doing so, discovered she was dead.
Oh, no.
A further examination disclosed a deep knife wound in her left side. Since the flight was only an hour out from New York City, hostess Klein recalls that a man was seated next to her just before takeoff was nowhere to be found on board following the discovery of the murder.
What does this mean, Hank?
I'll tell you one thing it means, Mother. I'm going to police headquarters right now, and I'm taking that coat with me.
Yes, but Hank...
Rose, a woman who was willing to pay $1,000 for this piece of imitation leopard skin, was murdered an hour or so later. Why? A man neither of us ever saw before nearly killed us in a crash on the Triborough so he could get this coat off you. Why? Well, we better find out why, because...
Yes, because...
I could be wrong. I hope I am. But this coat, it could be a death warrant, Rose.
Whose?
Yours.
Now, of course, you're thinking, so Ruth North, Hank's mother, examined the lining of that coat and found nothing. So what? Obviously, the coat contains something. Maybe it does. Then again, maybe it doesn't. In fact, to be absolutely truthful with you, no. Why should I be? You have all the clues. Use them. I'll be back shortly for Act Two.
You're driving a car you knew you were going to buy the minute you saw it. Skyhawk. Buick Skyhawk. You just knew a car this streamlined would be easy on gas, and you were right. In published EPA mileage test results, Skyhawk got 25 miles per gallon on the open road and 16 in the city. Skyhawk. It's rakish, it's low slung, it looks European, but it's a Buick.
Living free.
This is Nikki Giovanni speaking for the March of Dimes. I really like words. And, as a poet, my work depends on them. Sometimes, just a few words can carry a very important message, like help fight birth defects for the health of our future generations.
So join the March of Dimes today and find a way of life.
In God We Trust, America Speaks.
Thoughts from Helen Keller. I have four things to learn in life. To think clearly without hurry or confusion. To love everybody sincerely. To act in everything with the highest motives. To trust in God unhesitatingly. I long to accomplish a great and noble task, but it is my chief duty to accomplish humble tasks, as though they were great and noble. The world has moved along, not only by the mighty shoves of its heroes, but also by the aggregate of the tiny pushes of each honest worker.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
I'm sure most of you will recall the famous incident when Sherlock Holmes said to Dr. Watson, "Consider, Watson, the curious behavior of the dog." And Watson said, "But Holmes, the dog did nothing." "Precisely, Watson," Holmes answered. "Precisely." Now that, my dear listeners, is precisely the sort of clue you now have in your possession, and like Watson, must figure out for yourselves. I can almost hear Holmes saying, "But consider the coat, Watson, the imitation leopard skin coat." And Watson answering, "But the coat is valueless, Holmes." And Holmes nodding wisely as he replies, "Precisely, Watson, precisely." Now, shall we go on?
Joe. Hello. Contact ballistics. I'm Fabrics. They're bullets. And that's what you want to know about. Joe, listen. Granted, I have what you call a special flair for forensic, but... Okay. I'll look into it. Yeah. Leave it to me, Joe. Bye.
Lieutenant Maxwell. Show him in. Come in, Mr. North, Miss Corbin.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Sit down, please. Coffee?
No, thanks. Rose?
No, thank you.
Well, here's your coat, Miss Corbin. We found nothing. Not a thing.
Nothing?
I'll level with you, Mr. North. When you brought this coat in the other night, I figured, well, there's something, and I'll find it. Like there had to be something. You know what I mean? I mean, who offers 1,000 clamps for an imitation leopard skin coat, then gets herself murdered an hour later? Who crashes his car against another guy's car on the Triborough yet and tries to grab the coat off a dame? Who? Somebody that wants something in that coat, that's who.
Yes, but you found nothing.
I have personally put this coat through every test we know. Every inch of it has been examined under the microscope, the X-ray, the fluoroscope. We took the lining apart.
Oh.
And don't worry, we put it back together again, better than before.
It's beautiful.
And pull the blank.
Well, I don't get it, Lieutenant. I mean, if it was just that woman willing to pay $1,000 for this coat, but a guy crashing his car into mine on the bridge, then trying to rip that coat off Rose, Miss Corbin... Lieutenant, there's got to be something about this coat.
Well, I felt the same way myself, Mr. North, but there's nothing. No invisible markings, nothing hidden in the seams, nothing between the layers of the fabric and the collar, nothing. So to be honest with you, I don't get it either.
Excuse me, could I ask a question?
Certainly.
What about the woman, Simone Laveau? Have you found out why she was murdered?
No, I checked a couple of times with homicide. Last time, 20 minutes ago. We got nothing here on her. Us, the FBI, the T-Boys. Right now, we're checking the CIA and Interpol. They could maybe have something, but it'll take a little time.
Well, thanks, Lieutenant. You'll let us know if anything turns up?
You'd better believe it, Mr. North.
So much for the coat, Rose. That's that, I guess. What would you like to do?
Oh, don't you have to get back to your office?
Yeah, well, not until late this afternoon. I scheduled my day so I could spend most of it with you. Say, I know. How about the Museum of Art? We could spend a few hours there. Even have lunch, if you'd like that.
Oh, how wonderful, Hank. Only, I don't like the idea of having to carry this coat around all day.
Well, you won't have to. I mean, we'll check it at the museum. Okay?
Okay.
Hey, taxi! enjoy your sandwich, Rose?
Oh, yes. I mean, I'm so full. You Americans make much bigger sandwiches than we do in Britain.
The American way. Everything on a big scale.
Ah.
Well, you feel up to looking at some more paintings?
Hank, would you mind? I really don't. 2 hours walking around those galleries upstairs.
Oh, sure. You're tired. Look, I'll tell you what. I'll drop you off at home and then head downtown to my office.
Are you sure you don't mind?
Oh, to be honest, Rose, I do. I mean, I want to spend as much time with you as I can. You want to stop and look at the Greek and Roman sarcophaguses? Sarcophagi? Tombs?
No, I've seen enough. Let's just get my coat from the check room and go home, where I can rest these aching feet.
Whatever you say, Cousin Rose. Hey, there's something going on over there.
I should say so. There's a big crowd around the check room. Police. Hank, what do you suppose has happened?
I don't know. We're going to have a rough time, though, getting through that crowd to reclaim your coat. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Do you know what's going on over there?
There's been a murder, I think.
A murder?
Yeah, a robbery or a theft or whatever it's called. Anyway, somebody stole a coat.
A coat?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
You don't happen to know what kind of coat?
Yeah, I think they said a leopard skin coat, somebody said. Imitation leopard.
Another cup, Rose.
Oh, thank you. I'm getting to like coffee.
Oh, or is that another way of saying you don't care for my tea?
Oh, no.
No?
tea or coffee, when you finish that, I think it'd be smart to stretch out for a while and have yourself a nap. I mean, you've had kind of a rough day.
Tiring, anyhow.
Well, at least you're rid of that coat once and for all. Now, you don't have to worry about that anymore.
But you don't, dear. I don't. I just don't know. I'm not so sure.
What do you mean?
I have sort of, I don't know, a feeling that what happened at the museum today isn't the end of all this. For me, I mean.
Oh, now, it's nothing more than nerves, my dear. It's just nerves.
Perhaps, but I don't think so. Maybe it's the mystery of the thing, not knowing why someone wanted that coat badly enough to kill for it, murder for it. Looks like we'll never know now.
Well, look, it's over now, and we can forget it, as Mother says. And now, if you ladies will excuse me.
Well, where are you going?
To the office.
Oh, but this late in the afternoon, it's after 4.
And the brief I wanted to finish up at 3 is still waiting to be finished.
Now, Hank, you work too hard. Couldn't it wait until tomorrow? Don't forget there's the theater tonight.
Look, I'll be back at 6:30, the latest, so don't. I'll get it. Hello?
That you, Mr. North?
Yes. Lieutenant Maxwell?
Yeah, I tried you at your office. They said I might find you at home. Are you going to be there another hour or so?
Well, if it's important...
I think it is. I've got the answer. Anyhow, I think I've got the answer to our little mystery. I want to come over and check it out.
Yeah, well, sure, but what is the answer?
One thing, Mr. North, we got a report from the Paris branch of Interpol on the Simone Laveau woman.
Yeah, what about her?
She was a foreign agent. One of the higher-ups in a spy ring.
A spy ring?
Spy ring?
Yeah, now, the way I figure it, she, Oh, wait just a minute. Yeah, what is it, Eddie?
Lieutenant Maxwell says Simone Laveau was a foreign agent, part of a spy ring.
Oh, good heavens.
Hello? Hello, Mr. North?
Yes, Lieutenant.
Listen, something's just come up here. I gotta hang up. But I'll be at your place in over, say, half an hour.
Wait a minute. What's the answer to the mystery?
I'll see you in half an hour.
Lieutenant, don't leave us hanging like... Well, I'll be.
Well, what was all that about, Hank?
Well, Maxwell says he has the answer to the mystery, or he thinks he has. He'll be over here in half an hour to check it out.
What is the answer?
He didn't tell me. He got called away on something. He had to hang up. Well...
Who are you calling?
The office. That brief will have to wait until tomorrow now.
Where is he?
Well, give him time, Mother. Give him time.
But it's nearly 6:00. He should have been here at least an hour ago, and we are going to the theater tonight, remember?
Yeah, well, we may have to skip that.
I'm so sorry, Aunt Ruth.
Oh, that's all right, my dear. It's not your fault.
Well, somehow I feel it is.
Rose, how could it possibly be your fault?
Well, I'm the one who bought that silly coat at Harrod's, and if I hadn't bought it, none of this would have happened.
Not to you, perhaps, but certainly to someone else. If someone did buy it. Now, for all we know, if you hadn't bought it, it could still be hanging on the rack in London.
Yes, well, I wish it were. It isn't nerves, Aunt Ruth. It's knowing that because of that coat, two people were murdered. Hank and I came close to death in that car crash, and... Well, it's just too much.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
Uh-oh. This must be Lieutenant Maxwell. Okay, I'm coming. Lieutenant. Lieutenant!
An ambulance.
Hank, what? Oh, my heavens, Hank, be quick. He's collapsing.
I've got him. Mother, call an ambulance.
An ambulance. Hank, is he hurt badly?
My life.
All right, let me get him onto the couch.
Okay.
Look, get his coat off.
All right.
And his shirt.
No, too late.
The name is Norris.
Finished.
Oh, that's what you think.
That's right.
Rose, the medicine cabinet in the bathroom.
Yes.
Bandages, iodine.
Yes, all right.
No.
Listen, look, you better not talk. Just let me get these things off you, so
the ambulance is on the way.
Oh,
my dear.
Blood, I've never seen so much blood.
Listen.
Yes, Lieutenant.
The guy that did this.
How did he do it?
Not much time. She...
Rose?
Life in danger.
Rose's life? In danger?
Yes. She...
Man's in agony.
Here are some bandages and some iodine.
Lieutenant.
Guy did this. Must found out. I know. I know the answer to the code. Listen now.
Go on.
Only one that knows me. My office bugged. Got to be. Tell them. Headquarters. Tell them. Bug.
Sure. Count on it. What is the answer, Lieutenant?
The code. Not.
Not? What do you mean, not? Not what? Lieutenant!
Is he?
Yes.
Oh, the poor man. Another death. Will we never see the end of this? Why are you looking at me like that? Hank, Aunt Ruth, what is it? Tell me.
He said, your life's in danger now.
Mine? Yes, dear. But it can't be. How can it be? I haven't got the coat anymore.
No, but...
But what? They've got the coat. They've got what they were after. Why would they kill me?
I don't know. But I better find out, honey. I damn well better find out.
He'd certainly better do just that, or Rose Corbin, the very attractive young woman Hank North has fallen in love with, may not live much longer. But how can he find out the answer to this baffling mystery? Where does one start? What does one do? Where would you start? What would you do? I'll be back shortly for Act 3.
Hi, I'm Burl Ives. You know, nothing perks up a meal like an exciting side dish. And I'd like to tell you about one your family and your guests are sure to love and keep on loving. It's Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. It's a mouth-watering mixture of Uncle Ben's converted bran rice, wild rice herbs, and seasonings. It's the kind of side dish that can make an ordinary meal a great meal and can keep a great meal from becoming ordinary. In fact, Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice is so good, they tell me that most everyone who tries it comes back for more. That's because there are no compromises in quality. But that's the way Uncle Ben's does business. So, to make an ordinary meal a great meal, try Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. And to make sure you get the quality ingredients and good taste I've told you about, make sure it's Uncle Ben's.
Who knows what troubles lurk in the hearts and minds of consumers? The man from the Better Business Bureau knows.
Oh, Irene, this new sofa is gone already, and...
Why, what's that inside the cushion, John? It's, oh my heavens, it's crumpled newspaper. How did we ever buy a sofa like this? What can we do?
I'll tell you what to do.
Who are you, sir?
I'm the man from your Better Business Bureau. When you shop for furniture, it's what's inside that counts. Fancy coverings can hide a variety of shoddy workmanship. Read the law label that must be stitched to the furniture. It will tell you the filler material used and buy from a reputable dealer.
Oh, thank you, sir. We'll know better next time.
Not at all, ma'am. Just another tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Well, now, let's see where we are. Rose Corbin arrived in the United States from London, England, wearing an imitation leopard skin coat. On her arrival, a woman named Simone Laveau tried to buy the coat, and when Rose refused to sell, tried to take it away from her. Later, Simone Laveau was murdered aboard the plane taking her to Paris. Since then, the coat seems to have triggered two more murders, that of a checkroom attendant at the Museum of Art, at which time the murderer made off with the coat, and, as we heard only minutes ago, that of Lieutenant Maxwell of the police.
All right, Rose, let's go over it and over it.
Hank, we've gone over it and over
it. I know, but Maxwell said your life is in danger now, and Rose, if anything happened to you... Well, it isn't going to, not if I can help it. You bought the coat in Harrods the day before you took off to visit us here.
Yes.
And no one accosted you at Heathrow before you boarded the plane, or on the plane. Nobody even mentioned the coat.
No, no one.
But the minute you got off the plane at Kennedy International, this Simone Laveau...
Well, not the minute I got off the plane. First, I went to the florist to buy the flower... The rose I said I'd wear so you'd recognize me.
Yeah, but just after that...
She came up to me and asked to buy the coat and got very upset when I said I wouldn't sell it. I mean, practically began to tear it off me.
I just don't get it. We know there was nothing hidden in the coat. No invisible message, no... Nothing. But we do know that Simone Laveau was a foreign agent. Now, there's just got to be some connection between the coat and her being a foreign agent. There's got to be.
Hank, dear, why don't we forget it till after we've had dinner? We're all so tired and upset.
Yeah, you're right. Go and get ready, and we'll take off for Antonelli's, huh?
I won't be long.
Right.
What? Who are you? What are you doing there?
Rose, what is it?
Hank?
What's the matter? What?
There's a man here in my room. He's just fled. He's gone out the window.
It's too dark to see. He's probably down the fire escape by now. What was he doing?
Well, see for yourself. I mean, look at the mess he made of my dressing table. He was going through the drawers.
Your jewel case.
Well, there's junk jewelry, most of it.
Oh, this is all we need right now. A sneak thief on top of everything else. Check your things.
Right.
See what he got away with, if anything. Look, I'll call the police.
To what, Mr. North, do I owe this royal treatment?
Royal treatment?
Well, the call from your secretary saying to meet you at 5 o'clock at this swank watering hole, and then the arrival by messenger of this absolutely lovely little nosegay with instructions to wear it.
Well, you leave tomorrow for England, and there's something I want to say to you. Something important. That's why I wanted to meet you here, alone and without Mother this time, and... Well, as for the little nosegay, it's just a little something to make the occasion.
Well, here I am, wearing my most attractive suit and the nosegay. So what do you want to say?
Good afternoon. May I take your order?
Martini, Rose?
What?
Martini?
Oh, yes.
Two martinis, waiter. Very dry.
Yes, sir. Would madame like me to take her jacket?
Take my jacket?
It's a bit warm in here this afternoon, and
no,
I thought...
No, thank you. I'm quite comfortable.
Certainly, madame. Two martinis.
Well, now, Rose, what I wanted to say... Something wrong?
No. I was just wondering if I'd seen that waiter somewhere before.
Not likely. Well, now,
Yes. Well, now what?
Rose, we've only known each other for a few weeks, but in that short time, I've fallen in love with you, and I want you to marry me. Will you?
Of course.
Of course. Just like that.
What did you expect me to say? Oh, sir, this is so sudden.
No, but...
I'm in love with you too, Hank. Head over heels.
Oh, Rose. Well, I guess it's time then for me to give you this.
Oh, Hank. Oh, it's gorgeous. Oh, darling, that diamond must have cost a fortune.
You're worth a fortune. Hold out your hand. There.
Oh, thank you, dearest. Thank you so much.
Well, if that's only a sample, I've underrated you. You're worth a queen's ransom.
We are served two martinis.
Ah, thank you.
One for madame.
Oh, madame, I'm sorry.
You spilled it all over my jacket.
Oh, forgive me, madame, forgive me. One of those things, he just slipped from my fingers, but... Allow me, I will take care of everything. Let me have the jacket, madame, and I will dry it in the kitchen.
It's all right, I can wipe it with my napkin.
No, madame, it is my fault. You must allow
me... Please, will you take your hands off me? I said
But I insist,
all right,
madame.
Now, will you stop?
I only wish...
Well, the lady doesn't wish. Now, just forget it and bring another martini.
Yes, sir. Very good, sir.
Oh, I'm awfully sorry this happened, darling. Are you sure you... Rose, what...
That waiter.
What about him?
I remember now. Why does he want this coat? This jacket?
What?
First he wanted me to take it off, pretending it was hot in here. And spilling that drink just now was no accident. He did it deliberately.
Rose, I don't understand.
Hank, he is the man who caused that accident on our way from the airport. The man who tried to rip the leopard skin coat off me. Oh, Hank, what is this all about?
Ah, that's your flight they just called. Now have a good trip home, Rose, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you again in a week or 10 days, dear.
Quicker than that, Aunt Ruth, if I can wind up my affairs in London sooner. Oh, don't look so down in your mouth, darling.
No, I don't like even letting you out of my sight, Rose, especially after last night. That waiter...
It'll be all right, darling, don't worry. Oh, and thank you for the rose.
That's our flower, our song. You arrive wearing a rose, you depart wearing one. Goodbye, sweetheart.
Dearest. Goodbye, Aunt Ruth.
Not goodbye, Rose. Au revoir. Now, don't worry about the wedding now. I'll arrange everything.
Oh, you're a dear. I'll see you in a week. 10 days at most. At most.
Now, shall we go out and watch the takeoff, Hank? Son?
Could that be it? Could it?
Could what be what, Hank? What are you talking about?
The coat she was wearing when she arrived. The jacket she was wearing last night. Good Lord! The jacket she's wearing now! Could it be that?
Hank, what in the world are you...
I've been thinking. What did Lieutenant Maxwell mean when he said, just before he died, said, the coat, not... Not. No, I know. It wasn't the coat at all. It wasn't the jacket. If I'm right, they are after...
What? Hank, after what?
A flower pinned to Rose's lapel, Mother. Not the coat. Not the jacket. The flower.
Phil. Airborne at last and headed for dear old England, young lady.
Hmm? Oh, yes.
Since we're seated next to each other, let me introduce myself. Emil Tencourt.
Rose Corbin.
Have you been visiting in the States long?
Not really. A few weeks. I'm going to... How did you know that?
Well, how did I know?
Well, that I was visiting in the States. I could be living there. I could be an American citizen, for all you know.
I assumed your accent.
Who are you? Behind those dark glasses?
You're a very perceptive young woman, Miss Corbin. No, don't. Not a move. Or I'll give you what I gave Simone Laveau. That's it. No quick moves, no panic. Good. Just relax now. Enjoy the trip.
and we'll be at Heathrow Airport before you know it.
Enjoy the trip.
I would if I were you. It's the last trip you're ever going to make.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well?
We're to go to the operations office at once. He said he'd have a government agent there by then. Come on.
Why won't you tell me?
There is no need for you to know.
Since you're going to kill me when we get to Heathrow.
No, not at Heathrow. I'll take you to my place in London, in Soho. And really, I'm sorry about the need to kill you, but I must.
Why? Why must you?
Because you know my face, and in my business, that's a serious liability for the victim. But be of good cheer. The more I look at you, the more I'm inclined to let you live for some little time.
I don't understand.
You're a very desirable woman, Miss Corbin. Very desirable.
Yes, Hank, what...
The government men said to wait here.
Yes, but wait.
They're going to radio the pilot.
Oh.
I gave them as clear a description of the man, the guy who tried to get the coat from Rose in that accident on the bridge and who palmed himself off as a waiter last night.
And then what?
Well, he'll check the plane. You know, the way the captain comes through the plane now and then, chats with the passengers.
Yes, and then
but he'll check to see if this guy's on the plane, and if he is...
Yes, and if he is, what?
We'll take it from there, he said. The government man. We'll take it from there.
Oh. Did you enjoy the movie?
Are you joking?
No, just making small talk.
If you must talk, why not tell me what it is you want? Why did you cause that accident on the Tribara Bridge and try to get the jacket I had on last night? What is it you're after?
Patience, Miss Corbin. We'll be landing at the Heathrow in half an hour. Another hour or so, we'll be at my place in Soho. And perhaps an hour or so after that, I'll tell you. And perhaps not.
Are you sure that...
Mother, there are at least a dozen plainclothes police and government men down there disguised as airport attendants. The minute they disembark, there. Oh. They've rolled the landing platform in place. The door is opening.
Yes, well, that man, whoever he is, discovers that this isn't he.
But don't worry, everything has been arranged. There they are. Rose and the man. There's the captain right behind them.
Oh.
And they're walking right into the arms of... Oh. Rose, a fool! He put up a fight! It was as simple as that, Rose. I mean, the captain turned the plane around and circled Kennedy International for a few hours, pretending you were flying to Heathrow.
He fooled me, but not him. Halfway down the steps of the landing platform, he realized...
And he foolishly tried to shoot things out. Oh, I know. I suppose I ought to feel sorry for him, but I just...
It's understandable.
Oh, it's all just unbelievable. When I think that because I said I'd wear a rose and bought one at the airport when I arrived...
Well, the attendant at the florist shop, an agent who'd been planted there, would never have mistaken you for Simone Levaux and pinned that rose to your lapel with... Well, I guess you could call it the fatal pin.
Now, you know, I'm still not sure I've got this straight, dear. Now, let me see. She, on her way to Paris, was to go into the florist shop wearing a leopard skin coat and ask for a rose, right? Now, that was the agent's cue to use the, what you called the fatal pin?
Exactly. See, Emil Tenko knew he was under surveillance, and so he had a problem. I mean, how to get that top secret information out of the country.
So he had it engraved on the head of a pin. You know, Aunt Ruth, the way they engraved the Lord's Prayer on a pinhead.
Mm.
The trouble began
when the agent thought that I was Simone Laveau on her way to Paris, wearing an almost identical leopard skin coat to mine.
Yeah, and naturally, when Rose threw the rose away after it wilted, she kept the pin and used it again last night to pin on the nosegay I gave her.
Well, it's all over, and thank heaven it is. Rose, how about some dinner?
I'm starving. But before we go, I am going to change out of this suit into a dress. Oh, and Hank, dear.
Yes, sweetheart.
No flowers, please. Not for a long, long time. No flowers, please.
And so, as you see, like all good, seemingly insoluble mysteries, the solution to Roses Are for Funerals was very simple indeed. In fact, I even gave you a clue in the title. What could be fairer than that? I'll be back shortly.
You're on the open road, rolling free and feeling great about your new Buick Century. Because in published EPA mileage test results, a V6 Buick Century got the best highway mileage of any U.S. mid-size car. 24 miles per gallon and 16 in the city. Your Century's comfortable, it's nimble, it's economical, and above all, it's a Buick. Living free.
Last month, I noticed my oldest boy. He seemed so much older. I spent a lot of time away from home, but boy, that was a shock. He's growing up without me. I figured if I was going to have any influence in his life at all, I'd better start now. So I set aside one night a week, and each week I take a different child and we go and do whatever they want. And you know, it's amazing what it's done for the kids. And me.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
Mysteries, it seems to me, are like a magic show. Like the magician, the author shows you everything, but directs your attention elsewhere. Perhaps I should say misdirects it. So be on your guard next time. Oh yes, there will be a next time. And although I'll always play 100% fair with you, I warn you now, I'll do all I can to mislead you. Can you blame me? Our cast included Carol Shelley, Tony Roberts, Mildred Clinton, and Dan Ocko. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Gretchen, what's come over you? You seem so different, so...
Yes?
Well, you always struck me as a very quiet little person. And now you glow all over.
I feel there's a glow inside me.
Ah, Gretchen, it's beautiful. But I see now it's an awful beauty. It's a frightening beauty.
Fear and terror, it's all part of beauty.
Those crimson flowers, that red, it's like the red of blood. These flowers, they look as if they're being nourished with blood.
They are, Porter. They are. How did you know?
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by imported Vigna Rosé wine. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Thank you.
CBS News is next on KIXI, AM and FM in Seattle. A chance of showers and periods of partial clearing through Sunday. The highs in the upper 40s and lows in the mid-30s. In downtown Seattle currently, it's 40 degrees. It's 39 at the airport.
You can hear the difference. Bright and beautiful music. KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
And the time is 11 p.m.
CBS News. Four U.S. Air Force cargo planes are due in Saigon at any time now to resume the American airlift of Vietnamese orphans. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The planes will fly about 400 orphans and their escorts out of Vietnam. After a stop in the Philippines, they'll be brought to the United States, where all the children have foster homes waiting for them. As the airlift continues, rescue crews resume the search for the bodies of the children and others who died when a giant C-5A Air Force plane crashed Friday shortly after leaving Saigon. The official death toll was placed at 178, but it's feared the final toll may reach 200. There were 319 persons aboard the plane. Despite suspicions the crash may have been caused by sabotage, a U.S. Embassy spokesman in Saigon now says everything points to mechanical failure. President Ford says he was deeply saddened by the plane crash near Saigon, but pledged the United States will continue its evacuation of Vietnamese orphans. The president said the tragedy must not deter us, and we must offer new hope to the living. The president and Mrs. Ford had planned to meet that ill-fated C-5A plane when it would have arrived in California on Monday. Many of the innocent war victims in South Vietnam were being cared for by American volunteers, but the communist sweep across the northern and middle sections of the country forced the Americans to leave. One of them is Dr. Pat Smith, who had been running a hospital in Kontum in the Central Highlands. She arrived in Seattle Friday, but said she doubts she'll be able to return to Vietnam.
It's certain that the Highlands are gone. It's certain the coast is gone. How much longer the rest of the country will last, I don't know. Actually, the biggest thing that made me leave as quickly as I could is my children. The children are still dual nationals. I was in the process of renouncing Vietnamese citizenship for them, but this was impossible to complete because their papers were in the court in Pleiku, and Pleiku is rubble now.
Dr. Smith did bring her two adopted Vietnamese sons to the United States with her. More news in a moment.
They said it couldn't be done by fleas and ticks all in one. The two-in-one collar from Hearts. The two-in-one collar from Hearts.
They said it couldn't be done, but Hearts did it. At last, a collar for your dog or cat that not only kills fleas, but fights ticks too. Fleas and ticks are a year-round problem, so give your pet all-over protection right now. Look for the box with the bullseye, the new Hearts 2-in-1 collar. One incredible collar for both fleas and ticks.
Inflation, it hits us daily. And if you're in business, you face another kind of inflation. Adflation, spiraling ad costs just when the need to advertise is greater than ever. What can you do when print costs escalate? When producing a TV commercial cuts sharply into your budget for time? You can do what you do every day. Turn to radio. Radio is effective, inexpensive. Call this station. We'll suggest ways radio can help you fight adflation. Furnished by Radio Advertising Bureau.
In Cambodia, communist-led forces are keeping up the pressure, moving closer to the capital. Mike Snitowski reports from Phnom Penh.
Government commanders have ordered in reinforcements to counter the very serious threat which the Khmer Rouge are now posing to Phnom Penh's northern line of defense. Government troops from the towns of Takeo and Kampong Silah have already arrived and more are on the way. But meanwhile, the insurgents are also building up their own strength. There is now a large number of them tasked for attack only about 8 miles north of Phnom Penh. Military sources say if the insurgents break through, they would be free to launch a full-scale ground attack on the city itself. Mike Snitowski for CBS News, Phnom Penh.
A bomb exploded Friday night in a Standard Oil Company office building in San Francisco, about five blocks from where President Ford was making a speech to a civic group. No one was injured in the blast, which damaged offices on the 15th story of the building. Police said a group calling itself the Red Guerrilla Family is claiming responsibility. That snowstorm, which battered the Midwest earlier in the week, moved into the Northeast on Friday, leaving heavy accumulations of snow in upstate New York and in northern New England. up to 36 inches of snow hit northern New England, along with wind gusts up to 60 miles an hour. Now this.
Sorry, lady, I can't fix your sink until tomorrow.
My dinner party is tonight.
I can't help it. I gotta order the parts.
Well, isn't there anything you can do?
Yeah, I'll have to shut the water off.
Shut the water off?
Simple nervous tension. Simple nervous tension. Now turn it down with Quiet World tablets. The calmative with pain relievers and two gentle relaxants for hours of relief. Take only as directed. Quiet World tablets ease the aches and that tense feeling to help turn down occasional simple nervous tension.
Here's a riddle. Name a giant that lives in the ocean but can't breathe underwater. A giant that sings songs but has no vocal cords. Give up? It's a whale. One of the most fascinating giants that ever lived. And what's more, these giants have enormous brains and impressive intelligence. Let's use some of ours to save them from extinction. A message from the National Audubon Society and its local chapters.
The employment situation in the auto industry will improve somewhat next week. U.S. automakers plan to have 21,000 more workers on the job than they did this week. All but three car and truck assembly plants will be open. But the overall picture for the industry remains sluggish. More than 200,000 auto workers will still be on indefinite furlough. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI, with the time now is 6 minutes past 11.